We have two readings today. First is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This ends our readings.
Taken advantage of God? Kind of an interesting thing. If you're a good Lutheran, you understand the gospel. And the gospel says, undeserved on your part, the mercy and grace of God has been extended to you to offer to you a free gift of salvation accomplished for you at the cross by the work of Jesus Christ, and you get the benefit from it. In fact, you get all the benefit from it, and none of the suffering or anything else that, in a sense, directly went into that.
Am I good? Now I'm good. Gooder. I'm not going to remember what I just said, so we're starting. No. But we get to that point where we sometimes operate with a little bit of an attitude like this. Since God's got to love me because he loves all sinners, since God gave his son to die for the sins of the world, since I know that as a Lutheran or a Christian, someone who understands the gospel, I'm just going to kind of live my life the way I want. And then if I die, I'll go to heaven and say, God, you've got to forgive me because you're God and I'm a sinner and you promised to love me and forgive me no matter what. And we create after a while this scenario of abuse of God and his mercy that certainly we don't deserve and God never intended for us to use. And so this first part of this section, we're not going to talk so much about the spiritual gifts or fruits there as much as we're going to talk about the significance of the first parts of that when we start to recognize that. And it goes this whole point, it goes, don't use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. In other words, you have been set free, but the freedom you have been given is not the freedom to sin, the freedom to be rude, the freedom to be insensitive, the freedom to not care. You haven't been given those kinds of attitudes or behaviors. You're not given the freedom to pursue any evil your heart can think of. Now, culturally around us today, for all practical purposes, the world and the culture has brought even into the church this idea of freedom is to pursue whatever I feel like doing. Maybe we'll have a little hook on the end of a condition go, as long as I'm not hurting anybody else. Unless it's abortion, then it doesn't count because they're babies and you can hurt them all you want. Or if they're not the same Democratic or Republican Party that I am, then we can hurt people all we want because obviously they don't deserve respect. I mean, we have this kind of hidden agenda. We don't always deal with it honestly. We don't always look at it honestly in our own lives. Well, this set of verses is meant to challenge us and make us look at the very thought that goes on in our head. Why do we act the way we do? Why do we try and pretend it's okay to do whatever we want? Why do we deal with it and act the way we do and not respond to the call of God in the fact that he's died for us, gone to the cross, and everything else like that? So that becomes part of the challenge, and we begin to recognize that. We hear these wonderful words like grace, forgiveness, salvation, and we think of it must be fairly cheap because he offers it to everybody, and we begin to operate with that, and we don't begin to look at that whole process, so we begin to abuse it, like I said. If you go out and you ask a group of Christians, or what does a Christian look like, would the word a person who is free come into your mind? A person who expresses liberty come into your mind? Because the verses here say this at the beginning. You, my brothers, were called to be free, liberated. Okay? Do people see that in your and my life? And you go, I'm not even sure what the pastor's asking right at this point. But it's probably not a word that people come up with when they watch your life or my life most of the time. And you begin to recognize that that becomes part of the difficulty. And it goes, this whole point is the freedom God has given me is not the freedom to live more freely in my sinful nature. That's not the call that God has laid upon that. So it becomes really important that we understand that. In many ways, when we have that, we begin to use our liberty to please ourselves. It's not unusual for me to care more about me than anyone else. You know, and you get these passages like we're going to hit in just a minute. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the world has twisted this so much and heard a few pastors maybe say it, and certainly people have come up with this idea. Well, I got to learn to love myself more. Because if I learn to love myself more, then I'll learn how to love. No, that's a total perversion of the Word of God. Now, children, please come down. What, do you think I forgot about you? Ha, 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 ha. Come on down, kids. Time for children's sermon. Did you think I forgot about you? Did you wonder if you were going to get any candy today? Good, you're not getting any. Now are you wondering? Good. Do you notice I'm kind of messing with you a little bit and your feelings? I want to ask you, when you were sitting out there, what were you thinking about when I skipped children's sermon? What were you thinking? Anyone tell me what they were thinking? What were you thinking? Yes, we're not going to get any candy and he skipped children. Boy, he's getting old. Right. Anyone else thinking something else? What else were you thinking? This is what I want to ask you. Oh, you got one? Good. I didn't see it. It was, you got it. Good. Sometimes I do pause. That's what I did it for the day, to make you think about something. Have you ever heard, love your neighbor as you love yourself? This is not about learning how to love yourself more. We do that really well. I love me more than anybody else. I know I shouldn't, but I do. I bet you love yourself pretty much too, unless you're mad at yourself or you're disappointed or something like that. They go, I hate myself today and silly things like that. Yeah, sometimes you can be silly like that. That's silly. We actually love ourselves quite a bit. So here's one lesson I wanted you to learn to demonstrate to the big people what they need to learn. I want you to think about some time when you walk into church or school or in a group of people that you wish somebody would, for instance, remember the children's sermon, right? Today you said, hey, I think he forgot the children's sermon. We're not getting any candy, right? Instead, I want you to think for a moment and go, what do I want? And at that time, I want him to remember to have the children's sermon. I want him to remember to bring us a piece of... Do you ever think they think that? I want you to use that to help you do something very important today. Today, God said, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Do you love candy? I like it too. I got some good candy today, and you're not getting any of it. But you are going to give it away to someone you think might not get a piece of candy today. Do you think you can do that? You think you can do that? Because I'm going to teach you how to love your neighbor like you love yourself. You know what I think? I'd love to get the piece of candy and not give it away. Is that what you're thinking? Come on. Is that back of your mind a little bit? I want the candy. I don't want to give it away. Right? That's what you're going to learn today. And we're going to see if we can teach the big people that in even a bigger way in the sermon. So I have a treat, and Hank's going to supervise it for me. I'll up there. Come on up. Get one piece of candy. Find somebody to give it to. One piece of candy. Find somebody to give it to. Can't be in your family. Find somebody else. I could make it harder. Huh? One piece of candy. Give it away. Smile a lot. Might be the only piece of candy they get all day. Hurry up. Grab a piece to give away. Grab a piece. Give it away to somebody. Give it away. Work hard. Find someone. Make it easy on them, people. They're terrified out there going... And when you hold chocolate up to a crowd like this, it could go either way, you know. Like. What do you want? How do you want people to treat you when you walk into church? You know, I walked into church today and not one person said hi to me. Nobody said hi at all. Question. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. What's the motivation now? I know that I wish somebody would have said hi to me. I'm going to walk up and say, hi, Andrea, how are you today? How are you doing? Good. The good. You understand? By the way, you do know they're married now. I just wanted to say that. Tell them congratulations, Claude or Huff or something. Yeah. We went to men's study on Saturday, and someone said, I didn't even realize the two of you are married now, so my bad. Didn't announce it, so I'm sorry I'm embarrassing you. Oh, you're used to me. But the idea of how do you want people and what is it you need? When you're hurting, what do you need? I hope somebody will come alongside. Someone will ask how I'm doing. Someone will take the time, even if they can't tell from my facial expression, how are things going today? And I wish someone would do that. Here's the command of God. Do it. Get your eyes off yourself. Our problem is not learning how to self-love. Our problem is learning from self-love. Your self-love is very much intact. It is able to make you the most important thing, the most important person of whatever it is. When you walk into a strange group, what do you wish? What does the self want? I sure hope someone notices me. I sure hope they introduce me. I sure hope they don't make me feel bad. I sure hope everything's in the right places and all the right stuff and all that stuff. Good. Can you give someone comfort and walk out of your self-love and give it to someone else? Love your neighbor the way you're loving yourself. I'd like you to meet, and you introduce the person with graciousness, sensitivity, and understanding. And you begin to recognize this is a process that God is trying to communicate through Paul here in this section. It's not just a small thing. It's huge. You want to know how to live in the Spirit from the self, learn how to love your neighbor and get up and do it. If that was you that was walking in with crutches or a limp or a black eye or whatever you're dealing with, I'm sorry they're picked on you, Sue. All right. You should see the other guy. That's all I can say, you know. But you begin to understand. From that, you begin to say, how am I loving myself? Oh, my goodness, I love myself a lot. I hope no one talks to me. Well, or I hope everyone talks to me. I sure hope nice people come over and talk to me. You can have all these things. And the key, kids, come back down. Kids, come on back down. Hurry. Did you think I forgot about you? Now, I'll be honest. You thought this was going to maybe be the Sunday you got nothing, huh? Yeah, well, you're going to get something. He's back over there again. This is about, I would know how bad I'd feel if I was your age and didn't get my treat that I thought I was coming to get. You guys were very nice giving it away. You can each grab your own now. Go. You got it. Run. Go quick, though. Go grab another one. Honey, another piece? No? Can't even give it away. Well, give it away then. Grab one to give away. Yeah, that's right, too. Okay. It's interesting that the Lord takes this example that we're having and says, brothers, you were called to be free. And free is freedom from your flesh. Freedom is freedom to live and serve in the power of the Holy Spirit as God calls you to live it. Freedom is to not have to walk under the burden and the frustration of life and circumstances, but to live in the freedom God has won for you in Jesus Christ. And he goes from there and says, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, it goes on and says, serve one another in love. So the word serve is make yourself a slave to. I sure wish someone would tell me where to sit. I sure wish someone would offer me a drink. I sure wish someone would give me something to eat. When you're hungry, what does the self-love tell you to do? Find someone else that's hungry and feed them. Boy, this is complicated. I watch on YouTube once in a while, a person walks up to a guy, a beggar on the street, and says, you know, the guy goes, can you give me a buck or something? I've got no money. The beggar goes, he says, no, but I'm trying to do this and this. Can you lend me a couple bucks? I can't get home on the bus. And the beggar, the guy on the street, reaches into his tin can, picks out 5 quarters or 10 quarters, whatever he's got, puts it in his hand, there you go. And then the guy goes, well, why'd you do that for me? He said, because you needed something. And it was something I could give you. And the guy says, well, I just need you to know I've been sent to just come out here and see if someone like you or someone else would offer me the money that I needed to take the bus home, and I'm going to give it back to you here, and I'm going to give you $1,000 on top of it. Love your neighbor the way you'd love yourself. Who wouldn't like that? I have $1,000 here. Go ahead, raise your hand. Oh, you wouldn't like that. Okay, that's all right. Good. You understand, but you recognize, yeah, you'd like that better than candy, right? Yeah. Okay. And you begin to understand this is not a complicated. What it's doing, though, and you don't even come aware of it, how would you want to be treated when you're feeling this way or that way? And you keep expecting other people to do it for you. You can do that to your wife. You can do that to your husband. And you live with this set of expectations based upon your self-love because I think I'm worth it. This is what you should be doing for me. And instead, God says, no, use it as a catalyst, a stimulus, to find out a way to meet somebody else's need. You're sitting at home on your phone and no one's texting and no one's calling. I wish someone would call or let me know I'm even alive. Oh, love the way you love yourself. I will call someone and tell them I love them. I obviously mean it. Or let them know I'm thinking about them. Or pray for them right now. And you begin to understand. This isn't a complicated text. It's difficult because we don't always understand. Self-love is not encouraged to get more and more and more of it. You know, I love myself more today than I did yesterday. So I'm going to make sure I get even more food, more money, more stuff, whatever it is I want. And I go, no. The question is, can I learn from that experience and learn to live and express it in a way that starts to benefit people around me? What do I wish my wife would do? What do I wish my husband was doing? Do it for them. What? Yeah. You know, my husband just gives me those wimpy back rubs. Did I strike home? Works always, right? Let's see. That's my self-love. I deserve 37 minutes of massive back rub. Every day, twice a day, with my feet too. And you go, good. Your project this afternoon is to... Well, I don't want to have the pastor say he said I had to give you a back rub or something like that. You know what I'm talking about, though. And you start to open yourself up to recognize how powerful self-love is. You don't need to practice more of it. You need to learn from it. Because when you are using self-love correctly, it pushes you, as the next sentence point is going to make here in just a second, it pushes you to be in the Spirit. You're taking your eyes off self. You're trusting what God said, love your neighbor the same way you love yourself. And you begin functioning with a different set of motivations, feelings, and attitudes. So it points out here as we go on, it says this. But do not use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, serve, be a slave to, in agape. Why are you giving me a background? God said so. I love God and I love you. Wow. You're doing that? Yes. Okay. Do I have to do it back? No. Because would you want to have to do it back? No, ask yourself what you want. Yourself is unbelievably capable of figuring out what's the best thing. You know, I don't want to have to return the favor. I want you to just do it for me every day. You're going to go, oh, how does that work? It's called one-sided. It will destroy a relationship. It'll do all kinds of negative things. It's called self-love, loving self-love, giving yourself more love, and living under your self-love, just the opposite of what God's calling you to do. So he goes on from this point and says this, the entire law of God, all, what is it? I wrote it down there. I forgot where I put it down. 913 or 813 laws, when the Jews counted them all up, It's a huge number of laws summed up in one law. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. All the laws are fulfilled. That isn't a joke. Paul's dead serious about it. He understands a concept that's really difficult for us to grapple with as we go forward here. Love, agape your neighbor as you love your agape yourself. If you, it goes on, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, you never do this for me. You don't do that for me. And pastor never gives us any candy and he always forgets about us in the children's sermon. Devouring implies chewing one another up, backstabbing each other. Unbelievably easy to do with family, unbelievably easy to do with people closest to you. And if you're really good at passive aggressive, I can go, you know, smile and say, this person I'm looking at is no good. Can you? And you understand, you can do passive aggressive, we can do it all. It goes, would you like that if people treated you with passive aggressive behaviors? Well, no. Then don't do it to them. Would you like to know the gossip about your little story? Did I tell you about what my husband said and did to me the other day? And then this happened to Adam. And now half the church knows. Is that what you want? No. Then don't do it. You understand, the concept of loving your neighbor as yourself puts on the brakes. It refocuses your mind. It turns you away from self-love into benefiting and having an impact, involving yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit to actually love my neighbor. And he goes to the next point. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, you're going to be destroyed by one another. You mean a church can chew itself up? Of course it can. A family can destroy itself? Yeah, look around. You mean a mother can destroy a family? Yes. A father can destroy a family? Yes. Yes. Because those things become more important than the lesson I'm supposed to learn from self-love. And so you begin to recognize what the apostle is trying to communicate as he bring these stuff up. So it goes this. Verse 16 now. So I say, live by the Spirit. And you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Self-love will not be answered, and you don't even have to be negative. We like to spend a lot of time making a new vow, a New Year's promise resolution to ourselves, I'll work harder, grunt and everything else. And I go, God's not asking you to live like that. He's asking you to take that self-love, turn it around, and use it for the benefit of somebody else besides yourself. And the moment you start doing that, you begin to understand what God has been trying to communicate to us. Loving your neighbor as yourself is a work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It takes you out of the flesh and the sinful nature, and it puts you in an attitude of the Spirit of God. Because suddenly, if I was that down-and-out guy over there, I wish someone would just offer to take me over to a store to get me a burger or something. Whatever the case might be. And then your self-love is destroyed in that moment because it's used as a catalyst to do something righteous, good, or beneficial. See, that's what's fascinating about it. The very motivation that can be me, candy stuff for me, myself, can now be I can walk into church and go, I bet no one's going to say hi to me. I bet if I sit down here, no one knows me. I bet I'll do that, you know. You go, I am going to notice five people when I walk into church today. Who haven't I said good morning to? And who haven't I noticed look good today? And who haven't I said thank you so much for working on this or for the bulletin or for the music or for the library or something else people do? Because no one appreciates me, right? Self-love. Good. Who do you appreciate? Who did you tell you appreciated? You understand? You begin to go, what's the Spirit of God trying to get us to do? Get my eyes off myself, get me out of the flesh, living as it points out here in this next phrase. I say live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the will of God. Well, what does my sinful nature want? Me, myself, and I, candy, money, whatever it is. It manifests. It's not complicated to recognize your flesh. I keep putting that into your lap, forcing you to notice it, because it's destroying people around you. Your flesh always destroys. It never brings benefit unless, in the spirit, you go, the next time I notice self-love, and why isn't everybody loving in me and gathering around me and appreciating the pot of soup I made or whatever dish I present, I'll walk around and tell five people I really enjoyed it. And I'll mean it. Wow, that dish you made was excellent. Your soup was really good. Thank you. And what's happening? I have killed my flesh. I've begun living in the Spirit. Oh, go look. It says, I say you live by the Spirit, and you're not going to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's not going to get fed. You're not going to be walking around feeding it. The idea, of course, is that, you know, that lion, or not a lion, it was, I think, a tiger in the basement. And it said, you can't go down in your basement. And the question came, how long will that tiger stay in your basement? And the answer in the little riddle is, as long as you continue to feed it. Stop feeding it. It will grow weak and it will die. Your flesh is being fed. Oh, did you see what I saw on YouTube? Oh, look at this movie. Oh, watch this thing. Ah, read this book. Ah, interesting magazine, etc., etc., etc. My flesh is getting inundated. It's all about myself. It makes myself feel good. And so you begin to recognize his point here is when you begin to live in the Spirit, using that very thing that caused you to do something different in your life, the sinful nature is going to be desiring what's contrary. If you want to know what your sinful nature is, you shouldn't have any trouble. Open the Word of God. It will tell you all over what it is. It's self-love. It's self-centered. It will complain. Any of you good complainers? Whiners? You kind of go, oh, that's what I really like in people when they whine. Okay? That's what I like. I mean, I wish there were more complainers around me. You begin to go, God, what are you trying to teach me? Go out there, no complaints. Find someone to compliment. Find somebody to appreciate. Find somebody to notice. Find somebody's hand to shake. Why does a pastor say at the end of the service, talk to somebody you haven't talked to before? Well, you don't know how uncomfortable that makes me. And then someone five rows, two rows over is going, no one ever comes over and talks to me. I don't matter here. You go, oh my goodness. Go figure how it destroys the church. He can go over and talk to her. She can go over and talk to him or her. But they don't talk to, by the way, kids, this matters for you too. When we get new kids in the church, or sometimes you can say hello and you appreciate them or thank you for something, you can do some unbelievably wonderful things. And so it goes on from there and says this, they are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The idea for God is not only to set you free, but to keep you free. All right? Real freedom is not having to live under the law. If you have a dog and it can't behave and it won't behave, you're going to probably end up getting rid of it or chaining it on some short chain where it can't chew up the neighbor's kids or friends or acquaintances or anything else like that. That's not freedom. Although the dog is free to run around as much as it wants on its chain. The dog is like the one they can bring that sits down next to him in the church and quietly goes to sleep in the sermon like a lot of people. And as they do that, you begin to understand, that dog I can set free. Why? Because they're under the control of something outside of law. I don't have to yell, do this, don't do that. They're doing it. They're laying down. They get it. I don't have to be telling, well, who did you say hi to today? When you leave today, who are you going to say hello to? Who are you going to thank just because they're around? Or are you going to sit there and go, no one's going to say hi to me today? I go, I wouldn't say hi to you either. You're a grouch. That's the other part. You've got to start saying that honestly to yourself too, right? And we got to do that. You go, wait a minute. There's certain things that we... So the process God has, and it goes on, I'm jumping a little bit on you as we go through, is you have the flesh and the spirit and all the signs and marks of those things. I want you to jump down to verse 24, if you would. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep a march step. The concept is walk step for step. Forward march. Boom, boom, boom. Spirit. Who's the Spirit leading you to talk to today? Well, who's the Spirit? Who's the person that never says hi to you? Why don't you go over and say hi to him or her? I don't know if I can do that. All right, it may take a little time, but you do begin to understand how it begins to work, and you start to recognize what God is doing here. So when we come up with this list, if you don't know what they are, obviously the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and we've read that many times before, and the sinful nature is obvious, impurity, immorality, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, and so on and so forth, jealousy and bitterness. You understand? The self-love disguises itself. All right? When I didn't bring the kids up right away, I was hoping they'd say, he forgot about us. We're not going to get any candy today. They're leaving us out, okay? Now, the kids are smart enough to know I've done a few things like that in the past, but ultimately, the question they're probably thinking of, are we going to have a children's sermon, or what happened that we're not getting our little treat, or something like that? And so the same thing happens with you and me. You begin to understand, no one appreciates me. Well, who have you appreciated? Use that stimulus to go and do. Love your neighbor, appreciate your neighbor, forgive your neighbor, be kind to your neighbor, talk to your neighbor, love on your neighbor the way you would want to be loved or treated or talked to, forgiven, or anything else like that. Do you want people to ignore you? I really like it when they ignore me. Good. We'll try to do that more consistently. And we'll tear a church apart. It won't take long. All people have to do is start going, I don't feel very appreciated. I don't feel loved. I don't feel this. And then we operate on feelings, and the feelings drive the emotions and all that stuff. And pretty soon, we get this whole thing messed around. So here, Paul is doing this unbelievably beautiful thing for the Galatians. He's calling them to live that idea of love your neighbor as you love yourself and understand the significance of it. Pray with me if you would. To momentarily, before we pray, to think about someone, something that bothers you, from a child, a friend, an acquaintance, some behavior, some disappointment that you live with, something that you feel hurt by what they've said, done, or not done. And I want instead for you to use that as a motivator to let the Spirit use it to make a difference in somebody else's life. Commit to yourself to call, write, make a difference, text, send a picture, encourage, touch, talk to someone as they leave church, whatever it is, and let the Spirit lead you in that. Lord God, we are struggling people. We live controlled by the flesh more often than we want to admit, and it really destroys us and our families, and it tears us up, and we feel bitter and jealous and like we're giving and not receiving anything. So I ask, Lord, that for both husband and wife, they would both be touched by your Spirit and their self-love to produce some healing in their marriage like they've never had before. For parents and children with brothers and sisters, that they would have a deeper kind of respect, love, and caring for the family and the children that they live with and family members that they hang with. I ask, Lord, that there would be that increasing sensitivity that our self-love can actually give to us if the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us with it. So help us, Lord, to learn what that really means and implies and pour that into our lives. We pray this all in your name. Amen. As the offering's not received, but are there any green slips that you have that you please bring them up if you would? Got some Steve for you, so come on down. Got a lot for us today. Praise the Lord. Give us a moment while we read them so we can understand what we're praying for.
Join us in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the freedom you offer us, and we pray for the strength to live in the Spirit so we can enjoy more of that freedom. We thank you for that. Lord, we lift up prayers for Mabel, who's celebrating her 10th birthday, and we pray that she has a great day today as she celebrates that. We pray that she continues to grow in faith in you. We pray that she will let you define her as she grows to be a young girl and a young woman. And we pray that she would learn to love you and serve you each and every day and more.
Thank you, Jesus.
We lift up prayers for Joel David, who's starting to travel again for his job. And it's been a weird time, Lord, and we just pray that you be with him as he leaves on Tuesday for 2 weeks. We pray that you would bless his job and keep him safe as he travels. And we join with Carol Garuz, just being thankful for an answered prayer, and you are a God who answers our prayers and hears our calls, and we just thank you for that, Lord. We join in prayers for your will to be done. We pray for the Marriage Act to be defeated in the Senate and all that goes with that. We pray for an awakening in our nation and for people to turn to you and turn away from the world and in its ways. We lift up Mark Stenson and his family as they continue to grieve the death of his brother, and we just pray that you be with them, Lord, and draw them close. I also, Lord, pray for my sister Karen and continued strength for her as she continues to battle her cancer, Lord. Pray that you would guide the doctors, that you would open doors, that it keeping her from getting meds that she needs, and give her the strength to continue to battle, Lord, in your name.
Thank you, Lord. Pray for a grandson who's having surgery on his wrist and praying that the injury is not too serious, that ligaments would not have been torn, and that the surgery would go smoothly and effectively and accomplish its purposes and goals. We pray for a brother, Todd, who's back in the hospital with salmonella and dealing with a host of other reactions triggered by that. We pray for healing, just for the emotional side of frustration, disappointment, hurt, and the side effects of just salmonella, just from the disease itself, not to mention the other side effects from health issues and other circumstances that he's dealing with, Lord. We pray for the elections coming up, Lord. There's a lot of lies and deceptions thrown around. We pray that it would be exposed, that truth would somehow surface in the middle of the garbage that's thrown from side to side. And yet at the same time, we pray more importantly that people would be able to hear, discern, and work their way through it. We pray against the deceptiveness of elections. We pray against the illegalities of elections that are going on and apparently continuing to go on from news reports that we get from around the country. And we ask, Lord, that there would be courageous enough people to stand in the gap to purify and clean that up so we can begin to do things in an appropriate way with elections and everything else. Come and bless us, Lord. We pray for our fellowship here. We pray that we would learn from our self-love how much we do it, how often it is, how strong it is, how much it leads us in the wrong direction. And out of the middle of it, Lord, I pray that you would teach us to give that away and love someone else with that different kind of love that we can pour into their lives. Come and bless each of us, Lord. We pray that you would honor us with your encouragement and blessing. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen. Amen.